Chapter 56. In Time. He sits in a simple chair in the centre of my circular training room, wearing a coat of white with a gold line to either side of his high collar. The stars above his glowing hologram are cold stains of light through the duraglass dome. This room was built to train for war, and so it is here that I will grant my enemy an audience. I will not let him pervert this ship where Roke lived and where my friends celebrate by seeing or being any place else. Even though he's millions of kilometres away, I can nearly smell the pencil-shaving scent of him, hear the vast silence with which he fills rooms as I stand before his digital image. It's so lifelike, if it did not glow, I would think him here. The background behind him is blurred. He watches me enter the room. No smile on his face, no false pleasantness, but I can tell he's amused. His silver stylus spins in his one hand, the only sign of his agitation. "Hello, Reaper. How are the festivities?" I try not to let my discomfort show. Of course he knows of the wedding. He has spies in our fleet. How close they are to me, I cannot tell. But I don't let the thought spread malignantly through me. If he could reach out and hurt us here, he already would have. "What do you want?" I ask. "You called me last time. I thought I should return the favour, particularly considering the message I sent of your uncle. Did you receive it?" I say nothing. "After all, when you arrive at Mars, the cannons will speak for us. We may never see each other again. Strange, isn't that? Did you see Roke before he died?"
"I did."
"And did he weep for your forgiveness?"
"No."
The jackal frowns. "I thought he would. It's easy to fool a romantic. To think he was right there when I took his girl. You went running by in the hall screaming Tactus's name, and he looked up in confusion. I pushed a sliver of Quinn's skull deeper into her brain with my scalpel. I thought about letting her live with brain damage, but the thought of her drooling everywhere made me sick. You think he still would have loved her if she drooled?" There's a sound at the door, out of the camera's capture range. Mustangs followed me from the wedding. Taking in the scene, she watches quietly. I should turn off the holo, leave this creature to himself, but I can't seem to part with him. The same curiosity that brought me here now anchors me to this spot. Roke wasn't perfect, but he cared about gold. He cared about humanity. He had something he would die for, and that makes him a better man than most, I say. "It's easy to forgive the dead," the jackal replies.
"I'd know."
A tiny spasm of humanity moves across his lips. He may never say it, but the very tone of his voice tells me he is not without regret. I know he wanted his father's approval, but could it actually be that he misses the man? That he's forgiven his father in death and now mourns him? He pulls a short gold baton up from his lap. With the press of a button, the baton extends to a scepter, one with the skull of a jackal overtop the pyramid of the society. I had it commissioned for him more than a year ago. "I've not parted with your gift," he says. He traces the head of the jackal. "All my life, I've been given lions. Nothing of my own. What does it say about me that my greatest enemy knows me better than any friend?" "You the scepter, I the sword," I say, ignoring his question. "That was the plan. I gave it to him because I wanted him to feel loved, to feel like I was his friend. And I would have been, then. I would have helped him change like Mustang did, like Cassius might. Is it what you thought it would be? I ask.
What?
Your father's seat. He frowns, considering which tack to take. No, he says eventually. No, it is not what I expected. You want to be hated, don't you? I ask. That's why you killed my uncle when you didn't need to. It gives you purpose. That's why you called me, to feel important. But I don't hate you. Liar. I don't. I killed Pax and your uncle and Lorne. I pity you. He recoils.
Pity?
Arch-governor of all Mars, one of the most powerful men in all the worlds, with the might to do anything you like. And it's not enough. Nothing has ever been enough for you, nor will it be. Adrius, you're not trying to prove yourself to your father, to me, to Virginia, to the Sovereign. You're trying to matter to yourself, because you're broken inside, because you hate what you are. You wish you were born like Claudius, like Virginia. You wish you were like me. Like you? He asks with a sneer. A filthy red? I'm no red. I show him my hands, bare of sigils. It disgusts him. Not even evolved enough to have a colour, Darrow. Just a Homo sapiens playing in the realm of gods. Gods? I shake my head. You're no god. You're not even a gold. You're just a man who thinks a title will make him great. Just a man who wants to be more than he actually is. But all you really want is love. Isn't that right? He snorts in derision. Love is for the weak. The only thing you and I have in common is our hunger. You think that I cannot be satisfied, that I always yearn for more. But look in the mirror, and you'll see the same man staring back at you. Tell your little red friends what you like, but I know you lost yourself among us. You yearned to be gold. I saw it in your eyes at the Institute. I saw that fever on Luna when I proposed that we should rule. I saw it when you rode that triumphal chariot up to the steps of the Citadel. It's that hunger that makes us forever alone. And there he strikes the core of me. That abyssal fear that the darkness made my reality. The fear of being alone, of never finding love again. But then Mustang steps out to join me. You're wrong, brother, she says. The jackal leans back at the sight of his sister. Darrow had a wife, a family he loved. He had just a little bit and he was happy. You had everything, and you were miserable. And you always will be because you covet. His foundation of calm begins to crumble. That's why you killed Father and Quinn, why you killed Pax. But this isn't a game, brother. This isn't one of your mazes. Do not call me brother, whore. You are no sister of mine. Opening your legs for a mongrel, for a beast of burden. Are the obsidians next? I bet they are all queued up already. You are a disgrace to your colour and to our house. I move angrily toward his hollow, but Mustang puts a hand in the centre of my chest and turns back to our brother. You think you never had love, brother? But Mother loved you. If she loved me, why didn't she stay? He says sharply. Why did she leave? I don't know, Mustang says. But I loved you too, and you threw that away. You were my twin. We were bound for life. There are tears in her eyes. I defended you for years. Then I find out that it was you who had Claudius killed. She blinks through the tears, shaking her head as she finds her resolve. I cannot forgive that. I cannot. You had love and you lost it, brother. That is your curse. I step forward till I'm even with Mustang. Adrius, we are coming for you. We will break your ships. We will storm Mars. We will burrow through the walls of your bunker. We will find you and we will bring you to justice. And when you hang from the gallows, when the door beneath you opens, when your feet do the devil's dance, then you will realize in that moment that this has all been for nothing, because there will be no one left to pull your feet. The pale light of the hollow vanishes as we close the connection, leaving us to the glass ceiling and the stars beyond. Are you all right? I ask Mustang. She nods, wiping her eyes. Didn't expect to start crying like that. Sorry. To be fair, I think I cry more. But forgiven. She tries a smile. Do you actually think we can do this, Dara? Her eyes are red. The mascara she wore for the wedding stained by the tears. Her running nose is a ruddy pink, but I've never seen beauty as deep as hers is now. All the rawness of life flows through her. All the cracks and fears that make her who she is, worn in her eyes. So imperfect and rough that I want to hold her and love her as long as I can. And for once, she lets me. We have to. You and I have a whole life ahead of us, I say, pulling her into me. It seems impossible a woman like this could ever want to be held by me. But she puts her head in my chest as I wrap my arms around her, and I remember how perfectly we fit together as we hold each other and the stars and minutes pass distantly. We should return to the party, she eventually says to me. Why? I have everything I need right here. I look down at the crown of her golden head and see the darkness of her roots. I breathe in the full scent of her. If it ends tomorrow, or in 80 years, I could breathe her the rest of my life. But I want more. I need more. I tilt her slender jaw up with my hand so that she's looking at me. I was going to say something important, something memorable, but I've forgotten it in her eyes. That gulf that divided us is still there, filled with questions and recrimination and guilt. But that's only part of love, part of being human. Everything is cracked. Everything is stained except the fragile moments that hang crystalline in time and make life worth living.